Let's turn in the scriptures to Leviticus in chapter 19. In Leviticus chapter 19, we are going to read the whole chapter, verses 1 through 37. Leviticus 19, verses 1 through 37. And God's people, these are God's words. And so let's give our attention to them. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to all the congregation of the sons of Israel and say to them, 'You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Every one of you shall reverence his mother and his father, and you shall keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. Do not turn to idols or make for yourselves molten gods. I am the Lord your God. Now when you offer a sacrifice of peace offerings to the Lord, you shall offer it so that you may be accepted. It shall be eaten the same day you offer it, and the next day, what remains until the third day shall be burned with fire. So if it is eaten at all on the third day, it is an offense. It will not be accepted. Everyone who eats it will bear his iniquity, for he has profaned the holy thing of the Lord, and that person shall be cut off from his people. Now when you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap to the very corners of your field, nor shall you gather the gleanings of your harvest, nor shall you glean your vineyard, nor shall you gather the fallen fruit of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the needy and for the stranger. I am the Lord your God. You shall not steal, nor deal falsely, nor lie to one another. You shall not swear falsely by my name, so as to profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. You shall not oppress your neighbor, nor rob him. The wages of a hired man are not to remain with you all night until morning. You shall not curse a deaf man, nor place a stumbling block before the blind, but you shall revere your God. I am the Lord. You shall do no injustice in judgment. You shall not be partial to the poor, nor defer to the great, but you are to judge your neighbor fairly. You shall not go about as a slanderer among your people, and you are not to act against the life of your neighbor. I am the Lord. You shall not hate your fellow countrymen in your heart. You may surely reprove your neighbor, but shall not incur sin because of him. You shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the sons of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. You are to keep my statutes. You shall not breed together two kinds of your cattle. You shall not sow your field with two kinds of seed, nor wear a garment upon you of two kinds of material mixed together. Now if a man lies carnally with a woman who is a slave acquired for another man, but who has in no way been redeemed nor given her freedom, there shall be punishment. They shall not, however, be put to death because she was not free. He shall bring his guilt offering to the Lord, to the doorway of the tent of meeting, a ram for a guilt offering. The priest shall also make atonement for him with the ram of the guilt offering before the Lord for his sin which he has committed, and the sin which he has committed will be forgiven him. When you enter the land and plant all kinds of trees for food, then you shall count their fruit as forbidden. 3 years it shall be forbidden to you, it shall not be eaten. But in the fourth year, all its fruit shall be holy, an offering of praise to the Lord. In the fifth year, you are to eat of its fruit, that its yield may increase for you. I am the Lord your God. You shall not eat anything with the blood, nor practice divination or soothsaying. You shall not round off the side growth of your heads, nor harm the edges of your beard. You shall not make any cuts in your body for the dead, nor make any tattoo marks on yourselves. I am the Lord. Do not profane your daughter by making her a harlot, so that the land will not fall into harlotry and the land become full of lewdness. You shall keep my Sabbaths and revere my sanctuary. I am the Lord. Do not turn to mediums or spiritists. Do not seek them out to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. You shall rise up before the gray-headed and honor the aged, and you shall revere your God. I am the Lord. When a stranger resides with you in your land, you shall not do him wrong. The stranger who resides with you shall be to you as the native among you, and you shall love him as yourself. For you were aliens in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. You shall do no wrong in judgment and measurement of weight or capacity. You shall have just balances, just weights, a just ephah, and a just hin. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. You shall thus observe all my statutes and all my ordinances and do them. I am the Lord. Those are God's words. And you can see at the end there, as it said, of all these commandments, that He is the Lord, our God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt. So this is the God who's redeemed them, and here's the law for how to live now as the redeemed people. And this chapter is filled, hopefully you could tell, with the moral law. That is law of the two greatest commandments, the law of the Ten Commandments, and all the applications that go with them. And some of those applications you see here, that you see in our larger catechism of what is required or what is forbidden in each of the commandments. And so as it is filled with the moral law, yet we also see it has some ceremonial or worship commands found in it about the sacrificial system and those types of laws. We see verses 5 through 8 about the peace offerings, and verses 9 and 10, gleanings from the fields that applied to, as we remember, Ruth and in the Gospels with the disciples. Verse 19, the mixing of cattle and seed and garments. Verses 23 to 25, laws concerning trees upon entering the promised land. 26 through 28 concerning superstitions. The rest of the chapter, though, is an exposition of the Ten Commandments, or the two greatest commandments. And the first of the two greatest commandments is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That we see in verse 2, which is a summary of commandments 1 through 4. It says that you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. And a summary of the other commandments, 5 through 10, the second greatest commandment, and verse 18, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And if you wanted to know who your neighbor is, you look at verse 33. When a stranger resides with you in your land, you shall not do him wrong. The stranger who resides with you shall be to you as the native among you, and you shall love him as yourself. For you were aliens in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. So in loving our neighbor, we remember even those who we probably wouldn't want to act as a neighbor toward, or love them as a neighbor. Remember that you were once not redeemed. That's what he's saying here. You were once a people who shouldn't have people act very neighborly towards you. And yet God showed you love, and therefore you should love your neighbor. And all these things we need to learn from this chapter, that holiness is a way of life, that every area of life is subject to holiness. There's nothing in this life, beloved, that's unaffected by holiness. In other words, all of life is to be brought under the lordship of the King, our Lord Jesus Christ, who is altogether holy, in which we remember even what we've heard here from 1 Peter chapter 1, as obedient children. Do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Verse 2 of our chapter. And so, beloved, let us turn to the Lord and bow and submit unto our King Jesus, obeying all His commands for His God, for His glory and for our good, because our God is holy and He wants us to be like His Son and to be found in His image, imaging forth Him. And He is holy. Let's pray. Our Father, we are thankful for Your commands. We're thankful for Your law that You give to us as Your children, as Your redeemed people. that you've brought us out of slavery, and you've made us and set us free from sin. You've enabled us by your Holy Spirit now to actually practice righteousness, to be holy. We're thankful for our union with Christ, that as Christ is righteous, so in union with Him we are righteous. And yet, Father, we also know that we sin still. And yet, Father, you say in your word, you show in your word that we are able to practice actual righteousness. We're actually able to obey your word. We are able to obey your commands by the Spirit and the grace of the Spirit that you work within our hearts, changing our minds, changing our desires, changing our emotions or our affections. And so, Father, we are thankful that you bring us that by your Spirit, the Spirit of Christ. And we plead that you would make us holy as your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and King, is holy. And Father, we acknowledge again that we have broken your commands. Those commands that we find in this chapter that we've just read, that we have put on other gods. We have made other gods out of the things of this world, whether money. And so we try to work more so we get more money. Father, we have put our own pleasures as our God, our own entertainment, so that we don't worship you, we don't live godly lives because we're chasing after our own pleasures. We've worshiped, therefore, other gods like our jobs or our entertainment or things of this world. We've taken your name in vain and sworn falsely. We've made vows, even as we might think of them, just promises, and yet we've broken them, whether to our spouse or our children or to co-workers or friends or neighbors. And Father, we have joked around with your name and with your word. We've not honored you with all of our words that we speak. And so we've broken the third commandment. We've not worked diligently 6 days, and then we've often either forsaken or not kept your holy day, this day, the Lord's Day, holy. We've focused on our work, thought upon our works and our employments, our enjoyments of this world, our pleasures, on this day, the day that is set aside to worship you alone and think upon you alone and meditate upon you alone. And some of us even thinking of those things because we haven't prepared our hearts for this day. Father, we've broken the fifth commandment, not honoring our father and not honoring our mother, by disobeying our parents, by not honoring our authorities, those who we work for, those who are inferior to us, those who work for us or who are lesser than us in some way or greater than us in other ways. Father, we have not honored them, but we've brought shame or reproach upon their name by our actions, maybe even by our words and gossiping or slandering about them, and not obeying those who are in authority over us. Father, we've broken the sixth commandment. We've murdered in our hearts. We've hated people. We've become sinfully angry at people, even in our families or outside of our families. We've committed adultery in the seventh commandment and broken that command by lusting after other gods or lusting after other people, desiring certain things from people that we ought not to desire, but are heinous in your sight. We've stolen, breaking your eighth commandment. As we've seen here, we've not dealt with just weights. We have not shared everything, maybe in selling an item. We've not shared everything that we know about it that might cause concern to those who are buying. Or tried to talk someone down to a price that is much lower than it's worth. And in that way, we've stolen from our neighbor. Father, we pray that you would give us wisdom in those things. We know that we ought to try to get a good price and yet also a fair price. And so, Father, we ask that you would help us to see a sin of stealing, but also our lying or bearing false witness against our neighbor. Again, we've already prayed that we've gossiped, talked behind people's backs, and we've slandered and telling false things behind people's backs and bringing upon them a bad name that ought not to be done behind their back. And Father, we've coveted, we've wanted those things that ought not to be ours. We don't have the money for those things that we long to have and yet never will have or ought not to have. Father, we've coveted our neighbor's house, neighbor's wife, and their property. In these ways, we've broken the greatest commandment to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. We have not loved you, and we've not loved our neighbor as ourselves. We have broken every single one of your commands in thought, word, and deed. And so, Father, we ask for your forgiveness. Father, we come confessing our sin. We ask that you would grant us repentance, that we would be able to turn from those sins, that those sins would be put to death within us, and that you would be given all glory and praise, and that we would love you and love our neighbor. Father, we know that you are faithful and just to forgive us, to cleanse us of all unrighteousness, because that's what you've promised. And so, Father, we come pleading for your mercy and your grace, and trusting and hope that you always keep your promise. And we know that you always do. Father, we ask that you would make us to be holy as Christ is holy. But then not only thinking of our souls, our spiritual lives, we think of our physical lives. Father, we have many people not feeling well today. Jeannie, pray that she has rest so she may be present this evening. We pray for Oliver, who's been sick off and on for many weeks now. We ask that you would heal his body, that he may worship, and Dina then also may worship with us. Father, we ask for anyone else who may be sick, not feeling well, that you would strengthen their bodies. We do pray for your church. We're thankful for our presbytery meeting, and we give you all praise that the Midwest Presbytery has voted to receive us as a congregation unanimously. We're thankful for that vote, and that pray that you would give us joy about this, and that this new denomination would be a good thing and the blessings for our congregation to perhaps even help grow us in number as we struggle. Father, with families, we pray that you would grant to us more families. We also pray for those other churches in our future presbytery that are struggling like we are, that you would provide families for them, and young families with children to show that great energy and vitality of your church. Father, we pray that you would grow your church throughout the world, that you would bring in all your elect through the preaching and proclamation and teaching of the gospel, and that you would use us, even weak as we are, to show your strength and use us as instruments to bring forth your message, to bear testimony of the gospel of Jesus Christ, by which we find our only hope. And so we do pray these things, asking for your will to be done in all of it. In Christ's name, amen.